sun cannot come.
Well, like Greg said, or like Pastor Chambers said, he decided he wanted to give me an opportunity to get up here and preach and let you guys know a little bit of my heart. And I really do appreciate it. I appreciate you guys allowing this to be my second home church away from home. And I really do appreciate the love and the amount of love and acceptance you guys have showed me since I've been here at school. Today and lately, I've been thinking about this idea that I have been thinking about, and I think God has impressed upon my heart, is this idea of fear. Throughout the Christmas season and throughout the Bible, we see this mentioned a lot. In the Christmas season specifically, the angel Gabriel, every time he shows up to Mary, Zechariah, and the shepherds, we see this repeated phrase, "Fear not, do not be afraid." Because the moment that they are in the presence of a heavenly host, they are filled with fear. But the angel repeats, "Fear not, do not be afraid." Many other times in the Bible, we see this phrase, "Do not be afraid." Some theologians, some people would say that phrase, "Do not be afraid," or another phrase, "Fear not," is in the Bible 365 times, one for every day of the year. Now, I don't know specifically if it's in there 365 times. I haven't counted, and I probably won't count. But this overemphasized idea that we should not be afraid, or this phrase, fear. Despite this, many people still live in fear. Many people fear things of this world. So I have a few examples that I think you would agree that people fear. The number one fear, according to a poll in America, was that people fear public speaking. People fear standing in this position right here, or speaking to their colleagues, to their friends, to a group of people. People fear that. Another thing people fear is people fear heights. Some people, when they get to a certain height, when they get so far off the ground, and they realize how far they really are, they are filled with fear. They are afraid. Some people fear spiders. I cannot stand spiders. I do not like them. I fear spiders. This last one, this is an interesting fear that I found. It is called nomophobia. It is the fear of being away from one's cellular device. Someone has developed this fear and named a fear of being away from their cellular device. And people claim to have this fear. So people fear things. Fear is an emphasized part of the Bible. But I'm not here today to speak specifically about what people fear or why we shouldn't fear. I'm here to talk about this other meaning, the other meaning of fear in which I see in the Bible, the other definition of fear that I see in the Bible. See, we shouldn't fear anything because we have a God who provides for us and loves us and calls us to not be afraid. But we should fear God. So this idea of fearing God, when I was growing up in the church, I never truly understood what it meant, and it always confused me. Why should I fear God? Why should I be afraid of the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who created everything around us and provides for us? And it wasn't until I truly started to dive into the meaning of what it means to fear God that I truly understood what it meant. See, it's not the same thing as fearing public speaking or spiders. It's a different kind of fear in which we acknowledge who He is. So today, I hope that you will get a better understanding of what it means to fear God, what it means to be a follower of God in better relationship with Him. If you'd like to open up your Bibles, I think it'll be on the screen, to Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. I'll be reading, this is Jesus talking to His disciples. He says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those that kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear Him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear Him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." So like I said, these are the words of Jesus written in red, speaking to His disciples. For us today, I believe that these are words speaking from Jesus to us, preparing us on a better way in which we can live, a better way in which we can go about our lives and our approach to our God and our Father. The first idea and the first point that I think if we accept and realize that we can be better God-fearing people, we can better fear God, is this idea that we fear God out of respect. It seems pretty simple, right? Our country, for the most part, respects God. For the most part, we acknowledge that there is a God, and we respect that. But in verse 5, we see of this passage here, it says, "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Now, I'm not at all, and I don't believe that this text at all is saying that we should be afraid of God because he is the one who decides whether or not we go to heaven or hell. I am saying that we should acknowledge who has the authority. The words "has authority" sticks out to me in this. See, when I think of fearing God out of respect, I think of acknowledging God for who he is and acknowledging that he is all-powerful and is all-powerful to decide. Now, we shouldn't fear him in the retrospect as of being afraid of God who decides our eternal salvation, but we should fear him acknowledging that he is all-powerful and has authority in our lives. When I looked up the definition of respect, it was this great representation of what I think we approach God in. The definition was a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. See, God has lots of abilities. He was able to create us out of nothing, create everything around us, simply by the spoken word. He has wonderful qualities as Father, Alpha Omega, worthy of praise, and achievements. He's achieved so much in our world despite how much we try to go backwards. See, God is worthy of our praise, worthy of our respect. And I think the first way in which we are better God-fearing people is acknowledging that he is all-powerful and worthy of our respect. An example of what I think it looks like to respect God is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, we in this story and these people, we have three guys who are living in a time where it isn't what everyone else is doing to worship and respect and praise God. At this time, they're thinking and worshiping this statue of this king. And when it comes down to it, they are persecuted for it. But they have such respect for God. They have such respect for the God in which they acknowledge is worthy of praise. The God in which they know to be true in their lives. And they are willing to be put into a fiery furnace for it. And what do we see? We see that God provides for them a way out of it. See, respecting God and living in a way in which we acknowledge his authority is a way in which I believe we fear God. Fearing God can actively be practiced by acknowledging he is who he is and that he is worthy of our praise. The second point in which I believe that if we acknowledge and accept is a way in which we can fear God is that we fear God out of love. You may be thinking that doesn't make any sense at all. We don't love the things we fear because the regular definition of fear, we don't. If you fear public speaking, you don't love to speak publicly. If you fear heights, you don't love to climb a rock wall or be far off the ground. But we should fear God out of love because God loved us. In verse 6 and 7, we see that are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid, for you are worth more than many sparrows. Now, God loves even the sparrows. God loves even the birds of the air that fly around and seem to do nothing for us other than make noise and poop on our cars. God loves the birds and the sparrows. God loves us just as much. And God provides for the birds and the sparrows. And God provides for us. But also, he doesn't stop there. He acknowledges that God knows the amount of hairs on our head. Now, I love my mom, and I think she loves me, but I don't know the amount of hairs on her head. And she doesn't know the amount of hairs on my head. But God knows that. He's so invested in our life that he knows the amount of hairs on our head. Now that does mean that God knows the amount of hairs on our head, and God knows the junk in our lives. God knows the parts in our life so much that maybe we don't want other people to know. But God knows them, and despite that, still loves us. This undeserved love, this grace that God so graciously pours out onto us is a way in which I believe we fear God. We acknowledge that we respect him and he has authority in our lives. And then we acknowledge his love for us. See, love is this emphasized topic in the Bible. When Jesus was around, when he was asked and tried to trick by the Pharisees, he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He spoke of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he didn't stop there. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. So a part of this acknowledging respect and acknowledging love is loving others as well. So a God-fearing person loves God, but loves others just as much. See, I think an example of what this looks like in our life or in the world in Old Testament stories is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. We see once again, it is a time and a place in which worshiping God isn't necessarily what everyone else is doing. It is a time and a place where there's this idol presented. There is another God in which people are worshiping. And an ordinance or a law is brought forth in which anyone else who worships that God or another God, despite this one, will be persecuted. But Daniel is so in love with God. Daniel is so devoted and acknowledges and respects God for who he is that he is willing to still pray to God three times a day. Three times a day, Daniel decides and goes and prays to God because he is so madly in love and acknowledges that love in his life. Daniel fears God out of love. Daniel respects God, and Daniel loved God so much that he was willing to be persecuted for it. And once again, we see that Daniel was put into a lion's den. But God provided a way in which to close the mouths of the lion and keep him alive. See, we acknowledge God in love, and we respect God, and then we love God and love others as a form of fearing God. A form of being a God-fearing person is respecting him, loving him. And then this last idea is this idea that we obey God. People that fear God obey him. In order to truly respect God, in order to truly love him, a part of that is obeying his commands in our life. See, someone can respect and acknowledge, but until they truly walk in obedience, the relationship isn't necessarily true. It takes obedience to do anything. The Greek noun phobos can mean reverential fear of God, not a mere fear of his power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing him. See, we should want to please God. If we are respecting him and acknowledging that he is all-powerful in us, and if we are loving him and loving others, and a part of that is pleasing him. See, God has a plan and a will for our life, and when we acknowledge and respect him, and when we love him and love others, he starts to set forth that plan, starts to give us that knowledge of where in which he wants us to obey, and that plan becomes part of our life. Proverbs 1:7 says, fear of the Lord is the very beginning of knowledge. See, when we start to fear the Lord, when we start to respect and love God, he gives us these insights and this knowledge as to what his plan in our life is. And a part of receiving that insight and that knowledge is taking the step forward to acting upon it. Taking that step forward to obeying his command in our life. Obeying that insight and knowledge so we can walk closer together with him. And we see many Psalms talk about the many blessings for those that fear the Lord and walk in obedience. A part of having a relationship, a part of fearing God and walking in accordance to his will is, of course, respecting him and acknowledging for who he is, loving him and loving others, but it's also walking in obedience next to him. See, obedience is one of those things that people struggle with. People think, is this really God's will for my life? Is this really what God wants us to do? Is this really where God wants me to go? But God calls us to walk in obedience next to him. An example of what I think it truly means to walk in obedience in a form of fearing God is the story of Abraham. Abraham is a God-fearing person. He respected God and loved God. Abraham was going to be the father of many nations, but he was without a son. And God finally decides, you know, here's your son, and gives him Isaac. And all is good in the world until one day God comes to Abraham with this insight. God comes to Abraham with this knowledge. And he says, Abraham, offer your son to me as a living sacrifice. What does Abraham do? Does Abraham stop and think, well, no, that wasn't God. God promised me to be many father of many nations. God promised me to be as fruitful as the stars in the sky. That wasn't God. No, Abraham steps forward and takes the steps towards offering Isaac as a sacrifice. See, Abraham acknowledged his respect for God. Abraham loved God and loved his son. But when it came down to it, obedience was so important to Abraham that he was willing to take those steps forth to do something that God had called him to do. See, when we become God-fearing people, we acknowledge that God is who he is. We acknowledge that he is all-powerful in our life. And then we love him. We acknowledge that we cannot love him as much as he loves us. And then we start to love others through the overflow of the love in which he has given us. And then once we respect and love him, we start to walk in obedience next to him. And that is when our relationships truly start to become what it is. Our relationship with God becomes more intimate and becomes more of what God calls it to be in our life. We are properly fearing God when we are actively practicing respect for him, love, and obedience. So as I kind of wrap up today, I challenge you to take a look at your life. Take a look at your approach to your relationship with God. Take a look on how you respect him. Take a look at how you view him. You view him as Father, worthy of praise, beginning and end. Take a look at the way in which you accept his love, the way in which you overflow that love. You love others. Take a look at the way in which you're obeying God, acknowledging the insight, the knowledge that he gives you, and whether or not you are actively pursuing that obedience. Because I believe that when we become a people, when we become a church that is actively fearing God and acknowledging and respecting him, loving him, and obeying him, what could stand against it? When we are properly fearing God, we are walking in relationship with him and approaching our daily lives knowing that we are God-fearing people. I believe that a God-fearing person is someone that respects, loves, and obeys, and people know it. So today, I pray that we would be a God-fearing people. You would be a God-fearing person, and we would be a God-fearing church. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church, for you in our lives in which we acknowledge that you are God, that we would respect you for whom you are. We would know that you are our God, and we respect you for it. I pray that we would love you. We would acknowledge your love for us and love others. And we would walk in obedience to you. I pray that we would be God-fearing people so we could call others to fear you as well. That this fear wouldn't be a fear of being afraid, but a fear of drawing closer to you in relationship. That we would be a God-fearing people, respecting, loving, and obeying you in a way in which we walk in accordance to your will. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To us this morning. I think it was a very needed message about fearing the Lord and living for Him. You're free to go today. Go and enjoy the afternoon and just walk with God. Walk with God.